Hello, this is Dave Lynn, and I'm pleased to be joined again on the Deep Dive with Dave podcast by Keir Gumbs, who's Chief Legal Officer at Broadridge Financial Solutions. Keir, thanks so much for joining me today.
Dave, as always, it is a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The topic that we're going to cover today on the podcast is something that I blogged about a few weeks ago, which was the announcement that the Operations Subcommittee of the End-to-End Vote Confirmation Working Group recently announced that it has agreed to provide vote confirmation this proxy season for Fortune 500 annual meetings that are tabulated by members of the Operations Subcommittee, and also to pilot an early-stage vote entitlement reconciliation process for 20 Fortune 500 meetings. And I just had like a word salad there of things I was talking about that I know nothing about. How did this end-to-end vote confirmation working group come about? And what the heck is end-to-end vote confirmation?
Yeah, so why don't I start with that, with what end-to-end vote is, and then I can talk about, this working group. And again, Dave, thank you for doing this. I think this is a really important development for the proxy ecosystem, and I'm honestly really, really proud to have been a part of it and very grateful for the collaboration with all of the different parties, which I'll talk about in a second. But just to unpack what end-to-end vote confirmation is as a starting point, you can look back at the proxy plumbing release, but frankly, you can look at almost any discussion about the current proxy ecosystem. And one of the things that you hear from some of the participants, I might even go so far as to say many, is this desire for more reliability, more clarity and transparency, particularly around vote confirmation. And in this instance, when I say vote confirmation, it's basically how can an investor who is participating in a proxy solicitation have confidence that their voting instructions or votes, which have been given to either their bank or broker or to a tabulator, have been cast in the way that they've been instructed. In other words, is there a mechanism for confirming back to someone that their votes have been received and tallied and included in the final tabulation? And just to give you an easy example of that. So, you know, I have a brokerage account with Merrill Lynch and they have this thing, this investor mailbox where I get notifications about my proxy events happening for the things that are in my portfolio. And I'll go in and I'll look at the matters in there and I'll provide voting instructions. And because I am a beneficial owner and not a registered owner of the shares, they are just instructions. I'm asking Merrill Lynch, who actually technically the record holder for the shares that I am the beneficial owner of, to take my voting instructions and then to cast a vote in accordance with those instructions. And the way that it's worked historically is that, at least for a retail investor, I give these instructions to Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch, in turn, gives them through its agent to the tabulator, who receives those voting instructions, and then we'll confirm back to Merrill Lynch, we've got your instructions, your votes, and we can confirm to you that vote has been cast. The challenge, though, is that I, as the individual, don't necessarily get something back saying, not only did we receive your voting instructions, but we can confirm that those instructions were included in the final vote tally. And that effectively is what end-to-end vote confirmation is about. It's giving the end investor, whether they're a retail registered investor or a beneficial owner who owns through a bank or broker, confirmation that their shares have their votes have been cast. That's what it is at its core. Historically, Broadridge has provided that for institutional investors through one of our services, but it's not something that really anybody in the ecosystem has provided on a mass scale to the end investor. And it's something that the Investor Advisory Committee has talked about, the SEC has talked about, it's something that came up with the proxy plumbing release, and it's really a development that many participants in the market have wanted. Now, Dave, I want to be clear about one thing about when end-to-end vote confirmation is not. In a typical proxy solicitation, and these numbers, by the way, aren't just for solicitations where, you know, we at Broadridge are acting as a tabulator. This is really across the board. That typically 99.8% of all votes that have been submitted to the tabulator are accepted, meaning 99.85% of votes are already cast and happening right now. So that's a very small number of votes that get rejected. But in reality, people want that confirmation back on an individual vote-by-vote basis. And that ultimately is what this working group has been working on. In terms of the group itself, this is one of those things where, you know, at the, I'd say, nudging / direction of the staff, many members of the proxy ecosystem, so that's you know, Broadridge is a service provider for banks and brokers. Mediant, who's also a service provider for banks and brokers. ComputerShare, who's one of the largest transfer agents in the world. Equiniti, another large transfer agent. A handful of others. I don't want to give short shrift. There's a ton of other participants in the process. But all of us have been basically committed to working towards this end-to-end confirmation goal. And ultimately, it took the leadership from the Society for Corporate Governance. So shout out to Darla Stuckey and the Council of Institutional Investors, basically brought this group together for the purpose of developing a kind of standard approach with respect to end-to-end vote confirmation to make sure that we can provide that kind of confirmation to investors across a wide variety of meetings. And we can get into the details of that in a moment, but at a very high level, we've agreed as a group that we're going to provide end-to-end vote confirmation for companies that are in the Fortune 500, where participants in the group are acting as a tabulator. On top of that, Broadridge is offering end-to-end vote confirmation for all meetings where it's acting as a tabulator. And I can explain why that's the case separately. The other thing that we've agreed to do is to do an early stage entitlement process for 20 selected issuers. And again, I can unpack that later. But big picture, that's what it is. It's that group of issuers through the society, investors through the CII, and then the major transfer agents and proxy voting agents all coming together for the purposes of improving the transparency and reliability of the voting process.
That's great. Thanks. That really is helpful to understand how this came about and why it's something significant that companies should be paying attention to now. And you mentioned the aspect of this current project to really look at vote entitlement reconciliation. And I'd be interested in just hearing more about that and how that relates to the end-to-end vote confirmation aspect of the project.
Absolutely. And actually, I'd say entitlement and voting entitlement is actually the toughest piece of all of this. And that's actually the thing that has made it the hardest for us all to come together. So if you don't mind, Dave, I'm just going to take a quick step back just to explain what the ecosystem is and how it works, because entitlement layered in there. So if you think about any annual meeting that a company's having where there are votes that's going to take place to elect directors, ratify auditors, things of that nature, a critical question for that meeting is who is entitled to vote at that meeting? And I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the concept of a record date, where you say, as of this date, the people who are holders of record of this company's shares are going to be entitled to vote at this meeting. So, like, you've got that concept already that people are familiar with, that you look at the records of a company, right, to figure out who's entitled to vote. The challenge is that people hold voting entitlements through a variety of ways. And so you've got the registered shareholders, which in some ways is the easiest because those are the people who are listed on a company's actual books as being registered holders of the shares. And so you just look at that list and you can tell who owns those shares. Where things get complicated is when you think about the way that shares are generally held by banks, brokers, and other nominees, where basically in the United States, we're most familiar with the depository trust company, which is the firm that basically holds the shares on behalf of most banks and brokers in the United States. And so if you were to look at any company's share register, certainly any company in the United States, the largest holder of record in their share register is going to be the DTC. But I think we all know that the DTC is really just holding those shares on behalf of DTC participants. And that's literally 800 plus banks and brokers in the United States, right? So that's one source of entitlement. And I'll come back to that in a second. But there are other sources as well, because people may hold shares through the Canadian Depository System, CDS, which is a different type of nominee. And the CDS will hold shares through its participants who are participating in the CDS. And so CDS may also show up on a company's share records. Same thing for people, for nominees who hold shares through other banks and brokers who hold accounts through other nominees. For example, in Europe, different set of nominees. And what this really means in the context of voting entitlement is it makes it much more complicated for an issuer to figure out how any individual investor who's not a registered investor, how many shares that person is in or entity is entitled to vote, because DTC will have its account, CDS will have its own, as will the other depositories. And then you got to go a layer behind that and say, okay, within DTC, just using an example, Morgan Stanley may have 10 million shares. And of course, we all know Morgan Stanley is holding those 10 million shares on behalf of, you know, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 individual and institutional investors. And so part of the work that goes into any proxy solicitation is the tabulator, who's acting on behalf of the issuer, it has to work with the different nominees, whether it be DTC, CDS, or the people who hold accounts through those nominees to figure out what's their entitlement. How many shares is Morgan Stanley, in my example, entitled to vote? And the additional complicating factor is that Morgan Stanley may hold shares through a variety of ways. They may have some shares that are registered. They may have some shares that are held through the CDS. They may have some shares that are held through the DTC. And the job of the tabulator is basically to get that entitlement right for Morgan Stanley in this example. So they may get something from us or from Mediant acting as agent for Morgan Stanley that says Morgan Stanley's entitled to 1,000 votes in this meeting. And the tabulator may say, well, look, I can only see, 500 of those votes attributable through the DTC. Where are the rest of those shares coming from? And so there's this back and forth process that happens in every single solicitation where the tabulator is going back and forth with, either the banks and brokers themselves or their agent to figure out how many shares is that bank or broker entitled to vote based on the entitlements that the tabulator can see. And so, and Dave, effectively, most of what we're talking about when we talk about end-to-end confirmation, most of the work really relates to that process of figuring out how many shares is a Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, you pick the bank or broker, how many shares are they entitled to vote, and where are those shares held? And keeping in mind that there's transactions happening in real time, there's share lending, there's all these other complicating factors that may result in a discrepancy between what's reflected in the records for DTC or CDS, some of these nominees, and what the tabulator can see has been reported to it. And that ultimately is what this pilot is all about. It's developing what's the protocol for reconciling these differing entitlements, who is responsible for doing it, who bears the cost and labor efforts associated with reconciling those entitlements, and then what's the process going to be? If you think about the way that computing systems work, you've got a programming language that has a set of protocols that say, if this, then this other thing happens, right? Like, and there has to be consensus around that. In a very similar way, there has to be consensus here around how we're going to reconcile these different entitlements of banks, brokers, on behalf of beneficial owners like you or me. And that's what this entitlement question is about. And what we decided to do was that for at least 20 selected issuers within this pilot, we're going to do early stage entitlement, which effectively means we are going to go through and agree that for those, 20 or so issuers, we as a group are going to go through and analyze earlier in the process what their entitlement is, starting basically 5 days after the record date for a particular meeting. And that at its core is what this entitlement and early stage entitlement discussion and debate is all about.
That's really helpful. And it really has always fascinated me, the immense complication and layers of things that happen all in the background and the voting context and sort of the daisy chain of ownership, as I've always called it, which I don't even know if that's the appropriate thing to call it anymore. But it is amazing just how much goes on in the background. And I guess it makes me wonder, these issues have been around for so long. What makes now the right time to do this? And how significant is this to bring more transparency to the process?
First of all, why now? This is something that literally this group has been working on for, I would guess, more than a decade. I mean, there have been numerous attempts to bring the industry together around this idea of end-to-end vote confirmation. And in every instance, the biggest challenge has been, A, what's the right protocol? B, who's going to pay for it? And who has which responsibilities? Like that has honestly been the challenge, because everybody that's involved says, well, I have this set of responsibilities, and this process may require me to do things beyond those responsibilities. And is that appropriate? I think among this group, and again, I have to give a special shout out to the leadership of the CII, the society, but also for each of the organizations involved, we've all said at the end of the day, even if we could debate who should bear the cost of it, who should bear the burden in terms of time and responsibility, we all think this is the right thing to do. And I think just recognizing that this issue of end-to-end vote confirmation is something that the SEC and investors and individuals have talked about for so long, we decided this is really the time to move forward, because we can't keep kicking it down the road. And so, that's really all it is. I can tell you, having, been working on this since I joined and this process, it started well before I got here. It wasn't easy, Dave. It's not an easy thing. you know, each of us, you know, not just Broadridge, but also ComputerShare and Median and Equiniti and all the other participants, including the banks and brokers, there are going to be additional costs that we incur, additional efforts that we have to expend to get there. And that has to be recognized. But I think at the same time, we all know that if we don't do it now, we could end up in a place where we're forced to do it in a way that, that doesn't necessarily make sense. And so we're all trying to basically address the need that we all see in a way that we think makes the most sense. And you know, I think it's a really big deal. And I just can't emphasize enough, Dave, the amount of work, not just going into the planning, but that's going to go into this season. It's going to be a lot. And we're going to manage it, you know, and monitor those costs and then come back at the end of the proxy season to see whether it was a success. If you look at the announcement that we've put out there, we have a couple of very specific goals. And one of the goals ties back to something that you said, or a question that you asked, which was the current level of certainty that we have. And I mentioned that we're already at 99.8% of votes get accepted. We want to be able to demonstrate that through end-to-end vote confirmation. So that's one of the things we're hoping to accomplish. And I think if we can achieve that, it'll at least show the market, show the SEC, but also show individual investors that the proxy system works very well. I think we have a higher degree of certainty than we have for presidential elections, frankly, especially in the current political climate. That may not be a high bar, by the way. May not be a high bar. But the point is, you know, we're doing it because we think it's really important. And if we're successful, then we will expand this in future years. But right now, we just want to build on the work that's been done in the past and take it to another level.
Yeah, definitely. It's great news that it's happening. As you said, it's been something in the works for a long time. In this proxy season coming up here, will companies or shareholders see anything different as a result of this? Or is it more something that's really just happening behind the scenes?
Yes, definitely. They should expect something new. So as I mentioned, institutional investors have been getting end-to-end vote confirmation through ProxyEdge for some time. So there really won't be much change for them. For retail investors, what they can expect to see this year is that at least if they have a meeting that involves a company within the Fortune 500 or a meeting where we're acting as tabulator, they're going to get a confirmation on top of what they already get from their bank or broker. That confirmation, the point of the confirmation, will be basically to communicate to them that their voting instructions have not only been received, but that their votes have been included in the final tally. And we're still working on what that actually looks like, you know, what is it, an email? Is it an alert that comes up? You know, that is something that it will kind of finalize in the coming days and weeks. But that is a new thing. And I think that that's something shareholders can expect. I think from companies, they can also expect to get have a communication back from the tabulator confirming effectively that not only is the vote at that, you know, 99.8% of votes cast have been received, but also that we've also pushed out confirmation to the individual retail registered investors, as well as the retail investors that hold shares through nominees. And those will both be new things because, you know, we haven't had this expansive of an end-to-end vote confirmation process. So that's the big thing. There's one other thing here, Dave, that I think is worth mentioning. I mentioned on this entitlement front that there's going to be a lot of work that we're collectively doing, kind of the service providers within the proxy space. There is a role for issuers too, which is one of the challenges of this process, as I mentioned, was this entitlement question. And particularly around, you know, how many shares are held through the Canadian Depository System or other systems beyond the DTC. And often, issuers have to actually request a position list from the Canadian Depository System in order for, you know, the tabulator to have that record to compare against the DTC records for any individual bank or broker's entitlement. And so there is an additional action that issuers can take, which is consenting to allow their tabulator to get that updated list from the Canadian Depository System in order to facilitate end-to-end vote confirmation. So that is one new thing for issuers this year if they're part of the pilot that should be on their radar. But beyond that, it's really kind of sitting back and helping the tabulator work together with the rest of the participants in the process to develop that record so they can provide end-to-end vote confirmation to a company's investors.
Now, understanding that it all remains to be seen how this will all work out, and what are the next steps? assuming all goes as planned with this proxy season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, so, you know, we're finalizing what the confirmation, you know, communication is going to look like. So that's something that we're still working on. We're finalizing among the working group how we're going to communicate with each other throughout the process in order to make sure that we can provide the confirmation at the end of the day. And then the big thing is, once we get into the proxy season, is, you know, I think people that are listening to this should continue, first of all, ask questions of your tabulator, whomever your tabulator may be, about whether they're participating in the process and what that involves, and make sure that there's nothing that they're going to be looking for you as an issuer to provide to them in order to facilitate it. At the end of the season, you know, I mentioned one of the goals was just to provide confirmation for 99% of votes cast. We want to minimize last-minute rejections or corrections. We want to develop industry-wide protocols on end-to-end vote confirmation, including, you know, what the communications look like, who's responsible for them, things of that nature. But the most important thing, I think, are we want to take the learnings from this proxy season in 2022 to recommend further changes for 2023 and beyond. And the thing that I want to make sure people hear is that this is not a pilot. A pilot means it's a temporary thing, experimental, only being done for this year. What we're doing with companies that are in the Fortune 500 is intended to be the first phase of a broader end-to-end vote confirmation process that would apply to all companies. I can't guarantee that we'll get there next year. It's largely going to depend on what we see this year. But that's the long-term goal, is to really build on this process so that we can get to a point where everyone, every investor, regardless of how they hold their shares, what size their company is, who their tabulator is, et cetera, will have access to end-to-end vote confirmation. That's the long-term goal. And so at the end of the season, we're going to take a real look at how we performed. Did we get to our 99-plus percent end-to-end vote confirmation? Did it cost as much as we expected? Was it harder or easier? Those are the goals, and that's something that I think people can expect and should be looking to hear from the working group at the end of the 2022 proxy season.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Kid. This was really helpful to hear the details about this effort, and I wish you all the best in making this happen this proxy season.
Dave, totally my pleasure. Thank you. And I would be remiss if I didn't, again, acknowledge the leadership of the teams and companies involved in this process, especially the leadership of the CII and the Society for Corporate Governance. They were essential. We would not have gotten there without their commitment. And so I'm very, very, very optimistic that this is going to work out well this season, that it's something that we can really expand on, because it's better for the proxy system. It's better for governance. And at the end of the day, you know, this is what we're all trying to do, is make things better.
Absolutely. And we're anxiously awaiting to see how it all goes.
Me too, Dave. Me too.